Welcome to Lighthouse Chapel International, Columbus, Ohio. We invite you to discover the life-changing anointed word of God as you listen to this message by Reverend Gilbert Asamoah. Reverend Gilbert Asamoah is a well-seasoned minister who serves as the General Overseer of the Rackham Diocese in Lighthouse Chapel International, USA. Founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills, with over 1,800 branches worldwide. Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Ooh, a home for you. Open up a door for you to come and enter a place where you wanna be. Come and make my heart your home. Come and be everything I am and all I know. Search me through and through.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for opening this opportunity for us to come before you. When we come before you, we are affirmed. Because you confer your fatherhood upon us. You confer upon us and call us your sons and daughters. This then is our confidence that we know we are loved and that your love for us is unconditional. We appreciate you, Lord. And we appreciate your holy precious words. We ask you, Lord, may we embrace your words as words of life, light and direction in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Everybody is looking spiffy today. It's fantastic. Amen. My daughter Joy taught me that word. I didn't know that word. Amen. We thank the Lord. So we are going to start with scripture of the week. But I would like to just say something more about the Facebook thing. Sometimes people don't create the Facebook account with Bishop's name alone. That part of the account is their own name, and then Bishop Dag Heward Mills is attached to it. Do you understand? So there's a lot of bad characters out there. And sometimes well-meaning people can also, by doing that, can encourage that trend. That is why we are announcing. We don't think any of us would do that. Do you get it? That you create a Facebook account, Bishop's name, and then use it to fake account, use it to raise funds and put in your pocket. We are not going to do that, but we just don't want to be encouraging that, because the more people do it, the worse the whole trend continues. Amen. And then also the e-book thing, you know, I think all of us, many of us have done it in the past, but it's important we speak about it. Sometimes it's just $12 and you don't want to pay for it and you want somebody to give it to you for free. So all electronic books of Bishop, they are, you need to pay money for it. And if you paid money for it, you know, let your friend also pay money for it. Amen. All right. Don't feel condemned if you've done it. God is not, God, how many know God is in a good mood today? God is in a good mood today. Amen. Amen. All right, so Psalm 122, verse 1. I was mad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Or I was sad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was what? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, it's very interesting. I was about to share something from this verse in connection with our lateness. And lo and behold, it is also the scripture of the week. Hallelujah. If you are going somewhere that you are happy about, you are in a hurry to get there. Amen. Are you listening to me? So, the way I will talk about this, I will glad. Well, let's go it. Do it. Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms 122, verse 1. Hallelujah. So, is that true? I mean, of course, it's scripture, so it must be true. Is that not so? But the big question is that true for you personally? Amen. Amen. That you are glad when it is Sunday. It's not like, gee, that's another Sunday. We got to go in this rainy weather. Amen. Amen. If you are glad when it is time to go to the house of the Lord, then there has to be a certain excitement. It should not be like we are pulling teeth to get you in church in time. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? I am urging us, our time for starting church is pushing and pushing and pushing. And the sad aspect is that, the sad aspect is that when it is 12:30, you see, you are sitting here so you don't see the faces of the people, but from here, when it's 12:30, people's face changes like, it's 12:30, why is he still preaching? But you came at what, 11:49? Amen. And there is only an extent to which you can push the time. Because sometimes people too have to go to work. Do you understand? So you cannot, keep pushing and pushing. So the only solution is to make coming to church on Sunday your main project on Sunday. Like when you wake up, that is the project. And that is the thing to do. Amen. Let that be the first thing on your mind. I mean, the Lord has to be the first thing, the first person on your mind. Hallelujah. All right, so today I'm going to start a short series from Bishop's book, The Art of Leadership. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to preach from the chapter on valuing people. Amen. Amen. So my message is entitled, Three People Whose Value Was Revealed. Three people whose value was revealed. See, people go to school and study valuation. How to value things. Is that not so? How to value land. How many know that if you have a piece of land at a very good part of town and where all the rich people live, that land is going to cost a lot more than a land near where the poor people live? How many know that? If you buy a house at certain places, the value of the house keeps going up because of what human beings have designated the place to be. Hallelujah. But you will discover that if they find lead poisoning on that piece of land or anywhere near that, if it comes in the news, the value can tumble down very quickly. Hallelujah. So there are factors that go into valuing things. But one of the things that most people don't think about is valuing people. Amen. The human beings. Because many people think that the thing that will make you go forward in life, the most important thing, the thing you are looking for, is if only I get more money. Amen. If only I can have more money. Wow. If only I can have, see, if you don't know how to value things, even if you have more money, you will lose the money very soon. A story is told of a certain news organization, one of the major news organizations. They decided to help the homeless. Amen. And I think that it was in California. And so they decided to call a group of homeless people and, interview them and try to assess the extent to which, if we give them money, how their lot can change, how their condition can change. So I forget the amount of money. But one guy who, I think they were going to adopt one person and then invest in the person. I forgot how much money was given to the person. They, cleaned him up, gave him something to do. In exactly a year or two later, he was back on the street begging. Hallelujah. Because the person does not know the value of what has been given to the person. Amen. But one of the things that we often overlook is valuing people, like the human being. You see, if you have somebody in the house who does nothing, amen. You may have somebody in the house who does nothing, but they are just in the house. You may think that you may think that the person is useless. You know, did I tell you some time ago, I called a lady, and I know for sure that lady was single. Amen. As far as I know. And the lady's phone, the voice greeting on the phone, was a male voice. A very deep male voice. Amen. But of course, there are some ladies with deep voices. I remember a story. You know how my stories go. A story within a story within a story. But maybe I will pause on that one. A lady with a very deep voice. The guy was harassing him. Every day he said he lies to him at the taxi station that my mom's shop was. And the one day, then usually she doesn't speak. One day, the lady, the first time she spoke, she said, "I've already told you I'm married." It's like, that's the first time we heard the lady, but not knowing she speaks with bass. Amen. But this lady's phone, the voice on it was a male voice. And I found out that she said that if you have a shrill, in this neighborhood where I live, if you have a shrill, treble feminine voice, a lot of men will be harassing you. But I chose to have a male record his voice on my voicemail so that people will know that there is a man here. You don't mess around this household. Amen. What I'm saying is that you may have a man in the house who does nothing. He's just there. But how many know that when sometimes people are traveling, especially when they are going away for a long time, sometimes they bring somebody to come and live there. Because you cannot leave the house just like that. Hallelujah. You see, the human being that is there, even if they do nothing, is still valuable. That's my point. Are you getting it? The fact that there's a human being there, that when you go and come, you can get somebody to greet. Amen. Or you are upset, wherever you went, you are something harassed your mind, and you came home, you have somebody to pour it out to. The person may not be making a lot of contribution to the, to the program. But to be an outlet for you, a punching bag for you to release your frustration, is still a value. Amen. So we are talking about valuing people, and today we are going to talk about three people whose value was, because people are not the same. Do you understand? People are not equally of the same value. You see, when Jesus was about to be crucified in the week before, there was a party that was made for him. And one lady came to pour an oil, expensive oil on him, and was wiping it with her hair. And the people standing there, they began to complain, you know. The complaining was not about what's this lady into. I mean, does she like him? That wasn't the complaint. The complaint was about how much money she has wasted. The lady said, "Leave her alone." Amen. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. For she has done what she could. And she was doing this in preparation for my burial, because of all the people here, she's the only one who values me in a certain sense." Are you there? Because people were saying, why couldn't this money be kept for the poor? The poor are important. But there is also a person who you are going to have only for a short while. Because soon Jesus was going to die and was going to resurrect, and you will no more have the opportunity to give to him. Are you listening to me? Are you following where I'm going? So what I'm saying is that we must not only know valuing people, but we must also know timely valuation. Hallelujah. We must know how to value people on a timely basis. And so we are going to read an account from the book of Ruth, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible. If you have a daughter, you can name her Ruth. It's a very powerful name. She is one of the ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. We are going to read the whole chapter 1 of Ruth. Three people whose value was revealed. The first one we are going to talk about is Ruth. Hallelujah. You see, people, one day somebody was supposed to memorize a scripture, I think Amos 2:2. And when the person went for the oral exams, they forgot the verse that was there. So he said, "Can you give me a gist?" He said, "No, you have to say it. You have to say it." Then he said, "People are not people." Can you check your Bible? That's the verse, Amos 2:3. People are not people. But that is true, that people are not people. Sometimes people, what they look is not what you think. Hallelujah. But you know that there are differences in people. And you know when you find one, there are differences in people. When there is a crisis. When a situation arises. When there is a time of need. You will be able to tell the ones who have greater value to you. You see, it will be a mistake to value everybody the same. Amen. Not everybody in your life is the same. There are some who take a lot of your time. They take a lot of your time. And there's nothing like helping people, but there are some friends that is like they are drinkers. They are drinkers of your time, and they are always sucking from you. They will never ever show up when you need them. It would be a mistake to place them on the same level as other people who are loyal friends, who stand with you no matter what. You see, that there are times that you are exposed, or you are there's a frustration, or there's a disgrace, or there's something that you need people around you. And there are some people, when that arises, they will remove themselves and you'll be left by yourself. Watch out for those who stand by you when everybody has deserted you. Those who, in the midst of the crisis, they call to check on you. In the midst of the crisis, sometimes there's a scandal, there can even be a scandal, like you've done something wrong. Do you understand? And everybody has deserted you. And people are saying all kinds of things. And then you see that there are people who would only be associated with you when they have something in it. There's something in it for them. Hallelujah. You can't value those people on the same level as people who are with you for keeps. Amen. Are you listening to me? It is a key to success to be able to distinguish the most important people in your life. The people that you should value the most. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening to me? You see, I watched a play a long time ago when I was in college. And I forget the title of the play. Oh, I think it's something. It goes something like, "How dearly I detest thee." You know, it's like a paradox. Dearly, how dearly I detest thee. So one is like affection, like dearly. The other one is like I hate you. Do you understand? And in that play, there was two main characters and only a few additional people. We've already read the scripture, have we not? What was that? Well, Psalm 122 verse. So even if you don't read any scripture, don't say we went to church and all the pastor did was he was telling stories and stories and stories. Amen. So we are covered, Brother Elvis, we are covered. You see, you realize that Jesus preached a lot with stories. Amen. Yeah, you will remember the story Jesus told. Even a child can remember. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Are you following the story?
Yes.
All right. Some of you are not convinced. So let's look at Ruth. Amen?
Amen?
Ruth chapter 1. We are going to read the whole chapter. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. All right? Mahlon and Chilion. Try that. Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. So there was a famine. So Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons moved to the land of Moab. Just like all of us have moved from the motherland where we come from because of famine, and we have come here. Amen. So we can very much relate to this story. Okay? Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Hallelujah. 10 years. Some of you, it's been 20 years. Nothing wrong with that. Then both Mahlon and Chilion, go back to verse 4. What happened? They dwelt there about 10 years, okay? Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons. Well, did we read the verse that the Elimelech died? Did we read already? Okay. So then the two sons also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Hallelujah. Okay. Very, very sad turn of events. Amen. One of the things you must learn is that, see, this life is a journey. Amen. And we come into all kinds of things on this journey. Sometimes there's trouble on the way. Sometimes there's distress. Sometimes there's extreme sadness. Amen. But the Bible says in the book of Revelation that those who overcome, he said that there's a prize for the overcomers. Amen. In some of the letters written to the seven churches, he said, those who overcome, I will make them eat of the tree of life. In some other churches, he said, I will give them the hidden manna. In some other churches, he told them, that if you overcome, I will give you a special name. Hallelujah. It's all about overcoming. It's all about overcoming. It's not about rehearsing and rehashing the problems you are facing in life. Everybody is going through one problem or another. Hallelujah. But then it's about how you are able to overcome in the end. Because that's what you are going to be rewarded for. It is not going to be the things you achieved. But it is what you overcame in order to achieve what you achieved. Hallelujah. Because that's why you can't compare things. You can't compare people. Somebody has achieved a lot. Somebody has achieved little. But the one who has achieved a lot perhaps has not had as much issues or difficulties as the other one who has achieved little. So, you see, only God knows what people are achieving. And God is going to assess. God is a fair judge. Amen. At the bottom line is that you must have a steadfast mind. That this is a long race. It's not a sprint. It's not a 100 meters. It is a long race. And you must have the spiritual stamina to overcome in the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, this is that which overcome, even our faith. By your faith, we overcome. And then when you overcome, remember the people who helped you overcome. Those are people you do not want to forget. That's what this story is about. Are you there? People who helped you to overcome. So she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. That's verse 6. Okay. For she had heard the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. All right. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Verse 7. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. So the two daughters-in-law wanted to return with Naomi. But Naomi wanted to send them away. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Verse 10. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. So Naomi wants to go back to Israel. Her two daughters-in-law want to come along. She's trying to encourage them, stay behind. Amen. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go. For I am too old to have a husband, if I should say I have hope. If I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. The Bible said Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, bye-bye. But Ruth clung to Naomi. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you tried to give some money to somebody? And they say, oh, it's okay, keep it. And you try it again, and you try. If you really want to give the money, do you understand? You will keep pushing. Madam, do you understand what I'm saying? But you try to give the money, and they say, oh, it's okay. Oh, okay. Then you pocket it. The chances are that it wasn't really a strong edge to give the money. You understand? You have to try and try and try and try. It's like sometimes people call, somebody call. I heard somebody was telling the story that somebody called, and then when they called, they were not expecting the person to be home. You understand? It was like calling. There's something about calling to register your name that you have called. You understand? So it's like, it's not something you mean. So you call the person at the time you don't expect them to be home. So that you can leave a voicemail. So when the person picked the phone, he said, oh, I thought you not be here. But I'm here. Talk to me. He didn't really, a lot of people do stuff they don't really mean. It's just going through the motions. Of course, I wasn't there. I don't know Orpah's heart. But you can understand Orpah too. I mean, there was a lot of persuasion from Naomi. Look, stay back. Go find yourself a husband. Go. Because I got nothing to give you. I mean, I've given it all. What are you looking for? Amen. You want a piece of me? There's nothing I can give you at this point. Out of her frustration, she expressed to her, look, go back. And Orpah left. But the Bible said Ruth clung to Naomi. Hallelujah. Now, why did Ruth cling? Before we read the next verse, why did Ruth cling to Naomi? Because Naomi has told her, you know, there's nothing I can give you. Why did Ruth cling to Naomi? Who said that? Madam. Yes, the only explanation is love. Amen. It's like she had a very strong, inordinate affection for Naomi. That, look, I am into you. I am interested in you. I don't care whether you can give me anything. It's like, I love you so much. I know that actually being with you, it reminds me of the fact that I've lost my husband, just as you have lost your husband, and you have lost your son, and I've lost my husband. And when I'm around you, it's actually a constant reminder. The logical thing for me to do is to move on to from Ohio to where? How do you call it? Washington, Seattle, so that I can forget about anything to do with Naomi, so that I can forget about anything to that will remind me of my sadness, that I can move on and meet Prince Charming somewhere, and I can move on with my life. I don't want to, anytime I see your face, it reminds me of being sad. Therefore, I don't need to see you. Get out of my life. I am moving on. No. Ruth said, you know what? I love you more than me trying to overcome whatever has happened. Hallelujah. That's the only explanation. A love that goes deeper than the circumstances. And such love is rare. Hallelujah. Such love is rare. There's a saying in my native language that the bare men, it's like men are rare. Actually, I changed the translation. Real men are rare. Okay, okay. Real men are rare. Okay. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me, somebody? We are talking about somebody. Madam, you see, you might be surprised at what I'm doing. What I'm saying is that people are not people. Amos 2:2, please. That's not the right verse, but that's what somebody said. People are not people. Look, something hasn't happened to you before. Let something happen to you and you will see human beings how they are. Hey. They will leave you here. They will leave you in the middle of your something and then they've left. But there are people, in fact, the surprising thing, Sister Rosemary, the surprising thing is sometimes the people you least expect that they will be around, they are rather the one who will be around. People like Ruth are rare and they need to be cherished and valued. Amen. Amen. Now, which verse are we? 14. Okay, so let's move to 15. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, see, this statement that Ruth made is a statement that I believe I will not be surprised when we go to heaven that it is probably engraved somewhere. Like, these are eternal words. That you want people in your life to be like this. People who are not opportunists. Amen. Amen. There are people who are opportunists, who are only in it when there is juice and oil coming from you. When you dry up, they are no more interested. Hallelujah. When you are in them, you call them at a time of need. You know how people do? Hello. Hello. Oh, sorry, did I wake you up from your sleep? Yes, I was sleeping. Meanwhile, they were not sleeping. It's all an act. Amen. Amen. There are people like that. It's a flesh. Have you not met such people before? May God deliver you from opportunists. Amen. And if God opens your eyes to see people who are of a certain caliber, you need to cherish them. You should not count them along with the rest of the people. Because people are not people. People are not all the same. Look at the words. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Look, this is like giving the person a blank check. like a blank check. Wherever you go, I will go. Do you know where the person is going to go next? But you are giving a promise, wherever you go, I will go. My loyalty with you, there's nothing that is going to divide us. It's like, I will go with you wherever you go. I will, wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Hallelujah. If you marry a foreigner, that's how it is. The person better understands that your people shall be their people. Because if you move back home, you see that the food is different, the attitude of the people are different, the culture is different. Before you marry a foreigner, pray seriously about it. Are you with me, somebody? But Ruth was willing to pay. You see, she's sacrificing herself for Naomi. He said, your people shall be my people and your God my God. Then you see the next verse. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also. If anything but death pass you and me. If anything but death. So she's saying that, look, only death will separate you and me. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people, they will go with you only so far. Hallelujah. They go with, you see, a certain missionary who had a beloved. They were all in school. Everybody loves the Lord. We all love the Lord. Hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah. Worshiping God in church. Okay. You love the Lord. I love the Lord. We both love the Lord. Let's get together. Let's get married. Okay. It's very easy to find somebody in church. You love the Lord. I love the Lord. We love the Lord. We love each other. Let's go. But you don't know what will come along. Somewhere along the line, the brothers had got turned into missions. Okay? So they had beloved each other for a while. And then the brother decided that, you know, I want to be a missionary. And so he reported himself to Bishop Dag. And he said, okay, at the moment, we don't need missionaries in Columbus, Ohio. There's already Pastor Gilbert there. We don't need missionaries in Cleveland. Reverend David is there. We don't need missionaries in London. There we have Bishop Richard and many other people there. The place where we need missionaries is perhaps where? Cochabamba. Even Cochabamba is, you will sit on a plane and go to Cochabamba. Maybe we need the missionary, a missionary at a place. Navrongo is a big, is not so small. Afran plane. A place where you that a car doesn't go there. Do you understand? So I've forgotten the name of the place. That's why I'm just. But then, surprise, surprise. When the sister found out that where he is going, even though she had promised, wherever you go, I will go. When he came to a place that is not very convenient, he said, you know, I changed my mind. And after all, we are not married. I mean, it's just belovedosis. And the way it is, I don't think I'm prepared. We are all believers. We all love the Lord, but I think you are taking it a bit too far. My level of Christianity, I don't think I can go to this other place that you are describing. End of story. So brother was left without a beloved. Amen. William Carey, English missionary, same thing happened to him. His wife didn't want to go to India. He wanted to go to do missions in India. He said, I don't want to go. Amen. And eventually somebody convinced her to go with him. The harassment she gave him. That's why I'm very proud of my wife. Yes. 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 I very much appreciate her. No, I'm serious. Because you see, all her family is in New York. We didn't know anybody here in Columbus. She was already established in what she was doing. As a matter of fact, she was going to inherit a whole business. I don't want to go into details. She may not like me to tell too much. But her boss was going to retire and she was going to inherit the business, Madame Sally. And brother says he wants to do the work of God. And as you marry, do you understand? It's like you have become a helpmeet. And the helpmeet means fitting help. What does fitting help mean? It means that you are supposed to help the person in what God has called them to do. So now that the brother said he's going to be a missionary to Columbus, it's like you have to come along. But please understand what the person was giving up. If as we are here in Columbus, if anything, like at that time, we had two little children. And it is comforting to know that your mother is 20 minutes away, 25 minutes away, across the Hudson. If anything happens, you can go and drop your children and go. So that comfort, all that comfort, she was willing to leave it. Do you understand? To a place you don't even know. Who is going to take care of my children? Hallelujah. Amen. And giving up a business opportunity. And come and at a place where you don't know anybody. And you know, the interesting thing is that some of her former co-workers, friends, they used to call her, "Hey, Mavis, we hear you are now in Ohio. And you are milking cows."
Oh.
How the cows? That's the impression people on the East Coast have, in case you didn't know, about those of us in Ohio. They think everybody here is milking cows. They don't know we have skyscrapers here. It's like a mindset. You understand? So it's like you've thrown yourself away to some God-forsaken place. Amen. And the reality of the matter is that when you're going for mission, when you're going to do the work of God, you really don't know how things are going to turn. You don't. Look, we had, by the grace of God, a house that we have built from the scratch. A house that had, how do you call it, we had the first floor, which we had rented out. A brand new house. First floor rented out with enough income to support. And then we were living on the second listing. Everything in the house was new, brand new. Appliances, everything new. And look, women, let me tell you something. Women love comfort. It's part of their nature. Do you understand? Every woman wants comfort. So to give that up, and then not only are we going, we were going to sell the house because we didn't want to have to deal with rent or whatever. So we were giving that up. And if I am thinking that and she is not thinking that, it's not going to work. Amen. It's not going to work. But she gave it up for my dream to serve God. So I want to tell you, I appreciate you. Yes. Hallelujah. So it's a powerful thing. What Ruth is doing, wherever you go, I will go. It's not when the doing comes, when the thing, you can say all those nice words, but when the doing comes, the actual doing comes, you see that people will be changing their mind. Hallelujah. So because of what Ruth did, something was said about Ruth in Ruth chapter 4. Let's go to Ruth chapter 4. Verse 14. So you know the story, how she followed Naomi to the place. Is that not so? She followed Naomi to the place. And then, you know, keep in mind that in the Jewish tradition, okay, it was very patrilineal. So your inheritance, okay, your inheritance is tied to who your father was. That is the Jewish tradition. So that if you are a man and you only give birth to girls and you don't have a son, there is no one to pass your inheritance on to. Or if you are a man and you don't leave a son after you, there is no one to keep your lineage. Hallelujah. That is how it was. And so this man, Elimelech, who left with Naomi to Moab. Now Naomi is going back. Elimelech's property and everything is going to be lost somewhere. Amen. So if you keep reading, you know, Ruth chapter 4 verse 1 onwards, there was a discussion about among the family members, what are we going to do about Elimelech's property? If we find somebody who marries someone who came from that line, then they can continue. And the person that was willing to do that was a man called Boaz. Hallelujah. He became the king's man redeemer by Boaz marrying Ruth. Now, the children that come out of that line, through because of Naomi, the Elimelech's possessions will now continue. Are you there? So in Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. Now Ruth has given birth. Ruth has now married Boaz. And Ruth has given birth to a son. And the son was called Obed. Hallelujah. Obed gave birth to Jesse. And Jesse gave birth to who? King David. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel." So the women are proclaiming. You see, it's time for women to proclaim blessings. Amen. It's time for women to rise up and pray. Amen. It's time for women to make prophetic declarations of positive things. It's not all the time that we have to say, why do you all have to say something negative? Say something positive. Say something good. This woman was a woman of faith. Hallelujah. Thank God. Bless God. He's raising women of faith among us. Amen. Who will see something negative, but they will declare something positive? Because what you say can change the situation. If you keep saying what is negative that you are seeing, well, that's obvious. We all know it's something negative. It doesn't take any prophetic vision to keep on rehashing what is going wrong. The people who can see beyond what is going wrong and declare something positive, that's what makes you different. That's what makes you a prophetic person. Hallelujah. Then the woman said to her, Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. 15. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than what? Seven sons has borne him. So you see, this is the verse that introduces to you that people are not people. People are valued differently. The root, this woman, this prophetic woman, whose eyes could see, who had faith. They said that Naomi, this Ruth is not just one lady. She's not just an ordinary lady. He said, Ruth is worth you like what? Seven sons. There are some people who are worth like seven people. So we said we are going to discuss seven, three people whose value was revealed. Ruth is the first one. The Ruth was defined as she is worth more than seven sons. Please understand, in the Jewish tradition, a son was so-called valued than a daughter. Not that because the daughters were not important, but because of the way the inheritance system was. Do you understand? Are you following? So, to say that a woman is worth more than seven sons is to say that this woman is worth a lot. So, from now on, begin to make distinctions on who is valuable to you. Some people are worth seven sons. Some are worth 70 people. Some are worth 0.001%. Because the way they are minus, subtraction from you. And you too, you have not gotten the spiritual wisdom to see. And you are throwing your everything to the person. Pray about it. Put your hands together unto the Lord. Let's stand up to our feet. Commit yourself to God. Ask God to open your eyes to be able to value people. Father, we give you thanks. Now, maybe you are here. Maybe you are not born again. You have never started this relationship with God. Christ was the most valuable person, or is the most valuable person God gave to us. We would like you to connect to him and receive his forgiveness. Or maybe you are a believer already, but you've backslidden. You are not walking in close proximity to God. You are not walking in the way you should walk. God is not here to condemn you, but he's here to redeem you, to recover you. If you are that person who wants to rededicate your life to the Lord, lift up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We bless you. We honor you. Now I want the church to pray after me. Thank you, my Savior. Thank you, my King. Thank you for the completed work of the cross. For the blood of Jesus, which cleanses my sins. Thank you that he was raised from the dead in order to justify me. Now I give you my heart. Let your grace be with me. May I live for you. And may I value spiritual things. And may I value spiritual people. May I value my own spiritual life. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may take your seats. We are going to take our second offering and our tithes, our first and best. Lift up your hand if you need an envelope.